There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, y'all, let's do this. It's Midday Mobile on a Monday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad you're along. Hey, coming up this hour, we'll be talking to Senator Doug Jones. In just a few minutes, he joins us. Have a conversation with him about a bunch of stuff going on in Washington, back here at home as well. Plus, what's got the eyes of so many of us is the tracking for a tropical storm down the Caribbean that has a track that Dr. Bill talked about this morning that should bring it to the North Central Gulf Coast by maybe Thursday, Friday, Saturday in that region. We'll talk about Tropical Storm Delta and what he thinks it might become. Full discussion with Dr. Bill at 12:45, so you know we'll get the update there. Then you can share it with family and friends. Get what does Dr. Bill say? I mean, and one of the things that I heard discussed on the morning show today, and I was talking about this same thing really last week, more about keeping my grass alive, but when were they going to pick up my trash pile, my limbs, this gigantic pile in front of my house, and get everything straightened up for that? Well, my trash pile was picked up sometime early this morning. I don't know about you on Mobile, but it's a question as we go forward. If we have another hurricane impacting us and we have debris that's already like queued up to be spread around, what are we going to do with that? We'll talk about this with Dr. Bill coming up at around 12:45. All right, so I'll do an update on that. That's all straight ahead. Coming right back, we'll get a conversation rolling here with Senator Doug Jones on Midday Mobile. Online, fmtalk1065.com. Check us out, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. No TikTok, though. No TikTok. Thank goodness.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And let's bring on Senator Doug Jones checking in down here in the beautiful Monday. Senator Jones, I appreciate your time, and I spent the first part of the opening of the show talking about we'll check in with our staff meteorologist later on in the show about now what is Tropical Storm Delta. And heck, we hadn't even gotten cleaned up from Hurricane Sally.
Yeah, it's still an issue out there. We're still working. I think the cleanup is going well. I've been very impressed with the way all of the first responders, the EMA folks from both state and local, the sheriffs and all those folks, they've really done a great job, but we still got a long way to go down there, and we got another one on the way.
Yeah, that's the question, you know, getting all those things picked up in somewhere where they won't be projectiles again. What about funding for that? You know, where are we going? Because we can just look around 2020 on so many levels, and there are so many demands for money, right? And we have relief, yeah, whether it's for wildfires or hurricanes or something. Eventually, are we going to have the money to keep paying these things?
We've got the money to keep paying them. Look, as a practical matter, we're borrowing the money. There's no question about that, Sean. But the fact is that we have to continue to do that. We're still dealing with a healthcare crisis. We're still dealing with an economic crisis. But the fact is, the federal government is really the only agency that is only government that can do that. We can't do it locally. We can't do it with the state. So we're funding that, and we have these emergencies that pop up. We have and we've known them. We've seen them. We have them every year. Alabama has its far too many of its share, but we just don't have a whole lot of choice. People are going to depend on us to try to get money to them.
All right. I want to talk about the other, you know, we have it's a natural disaster too. Yeah. So we're talking about fires and floods and hurricanes and COVID-19 and coronavirus. The idea about we go with that is it anything happening before November 3rd? And if not, how soon after November 3rd do you feel there's movement in the Senate where there's some agreement with the House and a reconciliation of the bills? What do you think?
Sean, I hope so. There for a little bit, I was not very optimistic. Let's go back just a minute, though, and talk about where we are and what we've been talking about. You know, the House passed a bill back in May. Folks forget that. It was a huge bill. It was too big. It was not a perfect bill, but it did provide a framework in which to have these discussions back in May. I mean, May 15th when they passed it. McConnell wouldn't let us do that in the Senate. We kept asking for that because everyone knew that the virus was going to stay with us through the summer, through the fall, probably into the winter. We knew that the payroll protection program was going to end. We knew that unemployment was going to end. We knew that schools were going to reopen and that city and county governments were going to do it. And we knew that the Postal Service was going to need more money, not just for the election, but just more money to survive, to get those medications. It didn't happen. The House has now passed another bill. It's not quite as big. It's about $2.2 trillion. Before we left last week, there was some movement and some discussion about that. The administration was looking at a bill about 1.6, but there's going to be some sticking points. Now, frankly, I don't know how the president's illness and what we're seeing happen with colleagues as well as White House staff, how that might affect. I'm hoping, quite frankly, that everybody will use this opportunity to sit back and take a deep breath and say, we're not out of this yet. We've still got people out there that are suffering. We need to get these people some help. And let's try in the midst of this to try, even with the election coming up, try to get it done. I just can't tell you right now whether it will happen or not. It could be after the election as part of our overall appropriations process. But we really do need to get more money out to save businesses, to save people. It just needs to be done.
Senator Jones, let me ask this. This question gets, I've asked it, and this question gets asked of me by my listeners a lot. Hey, why can't y'all just get together on the things you agree on, right? We talked about this in some of the police reform bills, too, that there's these different parts of it that they're going to put the parties at odds. But there are some parts that there's agreement on. Could you a la carte it some here and say, listen, we'll do, because I know you lose leverage, but in this situation for the American people, let's get these things passed and then we'll come back and revisit these more contentious issues. Get something going.
Right. It's a fair question, and I appreciate the question. It's one I have actually advocated for to no avail. And the problem, Sean, I'm just going to be candid about this, is that people just don't trust each other up there. They, you know, folks that have certain things that they want to do, they don't trust Mitch McConnell to even give them a good faith look. They don't trust the administration. Likewise, I don't think that folks in the administration trust my folks, you know, folks on my side of the aisle. Mm-hmm. It is a question of trust. And everybody, and it's not, this is not just a Democratic issue or Republican. It's universal up there that leverage means everything. And if you could look back to what we did with the CARES Act, you can kind of understand that. There were a lot of things in that bill that were not perfect. We didn't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. We came together, you know, and passed a bill that a lot of people didn't like a lot of it. There were things that people, but we did come together because I think at the end of the day, rather than just doing an a la carte, it makes so much more sense for people to say, okay, I'm gonna give here and you give there. That's the way we need to be doing, to finding that common ground on all the issues. And I really think that's the best way to do this because, you know, we can't control the floor. And the minute you start picking things off that we can't agree on, then the next thing you know, Mitch McConnell's not going to do anything. And it's an unfortunate that we got to that place. And I am hoping that we can get back to a regular order where that's not the case.
Talking to Senator Doug Jones, you were tweeting this morning about flu shots, and this is kind of goes in with the discussion of COVID-19. with the, you know, whatever it is, I don't get mired into when the vaccine would be coming out, but we get a vaccine coming out. What makes us think that everybody's going to line up to in mass for the COVID-19? I mean, we can't get people to get flu shots, right? I mean, I can point at myself and be guilty of that sometimes too. So what? Why are people going to line up for a COVID-19 vaccine?
Well, we're hoping that we can make sure we can get through this election and make sure that all of a sudden the vaccine is no longer a political issue, and we can educate the folks about this. You know, we had Dr. Fauci and Dr. Redfield of the CDC and Dr. Hahn with the FDA just recently, and it was talking about the vaccines and the fact that they're just not going to succumb to the political issues on either side of this thing, so that when we do get a vaccine, it will be safe, it will be as effective as it can be, and we just got to do a better job educating. You're absolutely right about the flu shot. People just say, well, they don't, you know, I'm not going to get the flu shot because it gives you the flu. There are people that don't get their kids vaccinated with certain vaccines, and we've got to overcome that, because if we can educate folks the right way, they can get this. You know, I remember when I was a kid and people lining up at schools to get that polio vaccine, mm-hmm. because it was a big deal, and people understood that it was safe and it was effective. It was, you know, what little bit of downside there, risk there was, it's worth it, because this is not just about you as an individual. It's about everybody. It's about the community and stopping that community spread. So we're going to have to do a better job. We're going to have to depend on folks like you, Sean, to get the right messages out there, to get the word out there that this is available, it's effective. Please do it for you and your family and your neighbors.
And Senator, with all due respect, though, we're living in a different time than back then, right? My parents have said the same thing about polio vaccine at all. But there were, even though there was disagreement, there were commonly held beliefs that I think we're in a time now that everything can be argued, right? There's the baseline for whether this is safe or not. You just do a couple Google searches and you'll see a multitude of opinions on that.
You'll see a multitude of opinions, but we have to trust the medical professionals, Sean. We have to trust the medical professionals. If you go behind some of those multitude of opinions, you're going to see some type of an agenda that they have. We've got to trust the medical professionals. I've got folks right now that, because they don't trust the Trump administration, they're going to be skeptical. And I keep telling them, no, listen to the questions that I ask of the leading experts in the field that are going to end up having to prove this. They've got good, dedicated folks. It is going to be a much bigger challenge. You raise a great point. It is a much bigger challenge, and I'm urging everyone to get out of the silos of social media and go beyond just what you see in these top lines. Let the medical professionals, trust those medical professionals to tell you the right information, because I think if we can do that, we're not going to get everybody. We're not going to get 100% of the people in this country doing it, but we can get an overwhelming number of people that can help protect our community.
Right. I want to shift gears here to, and I know a lot is in question right now with the president having the positive COVID test, and we'll see when he gets out, and other folks in the administration, hopefully Godspeed, get them back to work soon. But y'all's work in the Senate in a process of confirmation here. So confirmation hearings on Judge Amy Coney Barrett for the Supreme Court of the United States. You have said that you don't think we should be doing this now.
That's correct. I think it's appalling that we're doing this right now, to be honest with you. I think that what we have seen is the worst display of a political power grab that I can ever remember. You know, we have got work to do. We've just talked about some of the things that we need to be doing. We need to be focusing on a COVID package. We need to be focusing on our appropriations bills that we keep kicking the can down the road on. We need to be focusing on the National Defense Authorization Act instead of jumping over all of that for a Supreme Court nomination that is clearly a political power play by Senator McConnell and the administration. It was just 4 years ago that a vacancy occurred 10 months before an election. And Senator McConnell, and by the way, Judge Barrett, when she was a law professor, said, no, we shouldn't fulfill this, let the American people have their say. Well, this vacancy occurred just 50 days, not 10 months, 50 days, and it's the only time in history that we will have a Supreme Court nomination for a vacancy that occurred after July in an election year. The political hypocrisy here, Sean, is just too much for me, and I am not going to be part of it. And I just think it's wrong to wait. I've said that if President Trump is reelected, more than happy to give his nominee a hearing and vote up or down on the qualifications. But I just think that this is wrong. It's destroying the institution of the Senate, and it's quite frankly destroying the confidence that people have for an independent judiciary in the Supreme Court.
I have to say, I have my feeling, and I have no way to prove it without a time machine to go down and go back and replay this, but if the tables were turned and you had a Democrat in the White House in this situation, I think the same thing would be happening. But that's my opinion as an American looking at this from the outside in, that whatever benefits the party is what's going to happen.
You know, and you could be right. I'm not saying it because we are so partisan right now. It wouldn't happen if Doug Jones was in control. I can tell you that. It didn't happen when it happened in 1864 with Abraham Lincoln. He didn't even submit a nominee. President Eisenhower did an interim appointment. So four times since July, the vacancies occurred, and it didn't happen. Today, it's a different world. I just know I can only speak for Doug Jones. I can't speak for everybody.
Right.
It wouldn't happen if I was in charge.
Well, let's talk about that and the race going on now for Senate. You talk about tailoring an ad for a certain group of folks. That football ad over the weekend, that was talking to football fans, weren't you?
Well, I was talking to football fans, but more importantly, I think everybody's record. I mean, you know, look, people are talking about my record, which, by the way, I'm very proud of in the Senate. But, his record is one of both a football coach and a failed financial advisor. And I think that it's fair to say, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about how he left Auburn. He had a horrible season, got beat by Vanderbilt, got waxed by Alabama, and people thought he got fired. He didn't. He quit. He walked into the president's office and he quit. He said, but yet he said, I still want my money. So he got $5 million. And so I think it's fair for people to look at the entire record of how he moved. And it's not just that he quit, it's just how he quit. So, you know, when you want to run for the Senate, you're going to be an open book. And so his failed career as an investment advisor when people lost millions of dollars, his coaching career, it's all fair game.
All right, Todd, let's talk about Second Amendment issues, something you and I have talked about in the past. And there's been questions. I know you came out the other day to talk about this. What's the plank for Doug Jones on Second Amendment issues?
Well, you know, I really appreciate you saying that because, you know, I think everybody has this misconception about me. I can't say all Democrats, but about me, that I want to take away everybody's guns, that I want to ban guns, that I want to, you know, that I'm not a Second Amendment guy. And Sean, you and I have talked about this. I got a safe full of guns out there because my son and I are hunters. We like to just go shooting. I grew up with guns. I am a Second Amendment guy. The thing that sets me apart, though, a little bit from some folks who just are strict views on it, is that I do believe that we have to do some things to allow law-abiding citizens to get their guns, keep their guns, get their guns safe in a way, in an efficient way, but yet keep the bad guys from getting guns. And that includes taking the background check system we have now, expanding a little bit into gun shows and other things. There's nothing that restricts a law-abiding citizen from getting a gun when you do that. We need to close a couple of loopholes that are out there right now so that people who are stalking women, doing those kind of things, if they get convicted, then they don't get a gun. They forfeit that right that we have with the Second Amendment. So it's just some common sense protections. But I am a Second Amendment protector. I don't want anybody coming for my guns. I'm not going to let them come for my guns. And I want to make sure that the people that are law-abiding citizens out there can hunt, they can shoot, they can pass down those guns from generation to generation. That's what I'm all about. And that's why it is so frustrating to watch the only way to put it is a lie for both my opponent as well as others, to just absolutely lie about what I'm doing and take and twist my words into something that's not.
Problem is, we, you know, in today's world, you carry the baggage of the party, the letter behind your name. right? And there's a lot of rhetoric coming from the Democrat Party that makes people really worry about the protection or the importance of the Second Amendment to the national Democrat scene.
And if you look at that, you do have some voices coming from the left, far left, that do that. But if you look carefully at most of the voices from the Democratic Party, you're going to see a lot more voices like mine. And it's more important, Sean, it is more important to have a voice like mine that is in the Democratic Party, in the United States Senate, because everybody know where somebody that, like Tommy Tuberville will be on that. It's more important. I can have much more influence to make sure that we protect the Second Amendment where I am than somebody who is just going to have a carte blanche like Tuberville does. That's the other thing that people need to recognize and see. Don't put the baggage on. Keep people in office that can vote the way and do the things that you want them to, not just simply the way that a fringe group on either party does. That's the importance of my voice in the Democratic caucus.
Senator Doug Jones, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us, and we'll talk again.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Sean. Anytime, take care, be safe, and healthy.
All right. There he is. Get your comments when we get back. Senator Doug Jones right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right. We'll grab your calls, too, here in just a second at that number. For text or call, but I'd like to hear your voice too. 343-0106. 343-0106. Let's check in with my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM and talk about inventory. Larry, you got something for everybody, right?
I think so. I think we pretty much got the whole gamut covered. If we had 1,000 cars, we wouldn't have the particular one for everybody, but if we don't, we try to go find it for them.
Yeah, we hadn't talked about that in a while, that y'all go headhunting for vehicles.
Absolutely. We prefer they come down, come by and sit down with us and tell us exactly. I mean, there's so many different options and color combinations. There's a lot of different scenarios that can fit. So just come sit down with us. We'll pull it up on the big screen and see what's out there and see if we can get the car to the person.
And also talk about that tailoring for us, the buyer. You have great financing options.
Absolutely. We got great, like I say, we've been in business over 20 years, so we got great lenders. We've got great relationships with credit unions, especially, and they're the hot gambit right now.
All right. Tell us how to find you.
Highway 98 Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM, 1236. Yeah, coming up around 1245, we'll be checking in with Dr. Bill Williams, the latest on the tropics. God bless. Still got piles of stuff. I'm starting to think stuff that still needs picked up. I know a lot of us are scratching our heads like, when are we going to get that done? By the way, too, grab your calls here in reaction to my conversation with Senator Doug Jones. What do you think about that? It's an interesting thought starter. I don't know if I agree with it completely or not, but that a Democrat that is, well, he says pro-Second Amendment, he and I have gone round and round, and we tipped our hat to that because I point out the Second Amendment is not about hunting, even though, I mean, that's kind of my thing, why I see guns as tools there, but the Second Amendment's about defending yourself, right? It's about a free people and their defense of freedom. So, It does range farther, but is there more value of a mansion like Senator if Jones was reelected, which if he's somebody like an insider to help? I just don't think that there's enough mansions, or if Jones became like a mansion, to steer the Democrats away from what is an extreme view in the negative of the Second Amendment. What do you think? Take your calls. Let's go to Rusty in Gulf Shores. Hey, Rusty.
Hey, how you doing, Sean? Hey, good. First of all, I want to commend you because I've listened to you do several interviews with people of varying political ideologies, and I've always walked away impressed because you hold people to the stone, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And saying that, this is my belief. Okay, Judd Jones, to make a comment like that is having an insider. There's no insiders in either party. We're so politicized right now that I don't think there's anything coming across the aisle. And I don't know. I'm not a history major or anything, but it's my recollection that every time that there's been a vacancy and there's been a president from a different party, they haven't got their judges confirmed. So, I mean, I don't know how he talks about stuff like that. I don't, at this, you know, I wish there was more civility in politics. But here's part of the reason is I know that I'm an Alabamian from birth, and I know that with Byrne, I've been able to get in touch with Byrne. He's called me back. McMillan, State Representative Sessions, everybody's called me back. Since Doug Jones has been in the office, I have sent multiple letters just to discuss certain things as it relates to the medical field, because that's the field I'm in. Not one response, not one anything. Not one. It's same goes for Shelby. Shelby never responds to anything either.
Me neither, Rusty. You know, by the way, that's two of us, by the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing is, you get these people in Congress, you get these politicians in Congress that vote for things like Obamacare that separate them from the whole rest of society, and we've become an autocracy, you know, or I can't say the word, right, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating. People are only going to continue to vote their party lines, you know. And unfortunately, I mean, I'm probably more of a libertarian than a Republican, but I've got conservative values. I don't even recognize the Democratic Party. I mean, I really don't. But anyway, I'll hang up, and yeah, like I said, I really appreciate your interviews. They're thought-provoking, and you hold people to the stone, and I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rusty. Thanks for your support of the show. And this is just an interesting question. And Doug says on the Second Amendment, Jones has voted with Schumer and Pelosi every single time. Why do we believe he'll do anything different on gun control? And Doug, I'm with you, Doug. At the same time, it is an interesting thought starter. Is there more value? Now, like Rusty said, the idea that there's going to be some working across the aisle, and that maybe we're post that world, and I think that's a shame. I don't think you can undo it. I don't think we can go back and undo that. Let's go to Keith in Pensacola up next. Hey, Keith.
Hey, brother. What's happening?
Man, you dog. What's going on? You want to talk about Senator Jones?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just curious. Next time you get him on the air, try to figure out if he's ever actually been to a gun show, because I want to know how he's doing it. If he's going in and getting a pistol or anything that requires a background check at a gun show, any different than it is going to a gun store,
right?
I want to know how he does it.
Right. Let's talk facts, because what Keith is talking about, y'all go into the, you know, if there's a dealer there at the gun show and you go in to buy a gun, they're going to run the check. They're going to run the check on you. I think what they talk about is the parking lot loophole. But if they're going to go after the parking lot loophole, then they're going to go after, if I had a gun, you know, I may have between 0 and 500 firearms. Or probably zero. I don't even know which end you mash the musket ball in. But if I wanted to will those to my children, I don't want the government, I don't want to have to fill out a form and register before I will those guns to my children. Right? And
exactly.
And so where do you go if you tell somebody they can't sell that gun in the parking lot? And I want the guns to stay out of the hands of the people who are going to use them for evil. I want to do that. How do I do that and balance our liberty at the same time? That's why this is a tough subject.
Right. I totally agree. It's just the way he's putting it. If you don't already know that that's illegal and you can't, you're going to just believe it. And
yes.
That's what I just want to make sure people understand. That's already
well
illegal.
No,
so
well
what kind
said.
Of law are they going to pass to make something that's illegal more illegal?
You know, there's a buddy of mine, he's a smart guy, too. He said, and he is, his Second Amendment is you and I, and probably more Second Amendment than you and I, but he said, and this is all about voluntary, not about compulsory. He said, because he looked at me, he said, neither of us, Sean, want to sell a firearm to somebody who's going to use it to hurt somebody. And I nodded. I said, absolutely. That's the last thing I'd want. He said, what if people could voluntarily, the way you get things on your driver's license to show that you got your boater's license or you can run a motorcycle or whatever it is, that you go through a background check the way we do for concealed carry permit, right? That you go through that. If I had one, I probably don't. But... that somebody would get a demarcation on their license that says they went through a background check. Now, of course, everybody can throw everything that the next day the person could commit a crime. Sure. But if they have that on there, if you and I are, you know, meeting and I don't know you and I say, Keith, I want to sell you, but I'd like to see your ID here before I sell this to you. And you show that to me and it's got the certification. I'm like, good. I feel good about this sale. Once again, there's no forms filled out. The government isn't looking over my shoulder. You just had something to show two private citizens voluntarily, you don't have to do it, voluntarily, that I'm selling a firearm to a good person.
Right. Exactly. And that would make sense. I could be fully in support of that, but I just wanted to throw that out at you.
Very good. Keith, I appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in from Pensacola. It's Jerry says, please ask Doug Jones if he supports the same kind of background checks for voters. That's good. I'll have to use that one next time. There we go. Mark, Obama dominated Garland in his last term. He did, but I have to say, Mark, just, and I'm with you in spirit on this because one of the things very important to me is those Supreme Court nominations, but timelines are a little bit different. They are. Just doesn't mean I don't agree with you, Mark. It's just I want to make sure we stay factual here. Mr. Jones is in the party that believes in late-term abortion, open borders, and gun control. The only reason he won is because Roy Moore turned into a lousy candidate. Yeah. And so we'll see what happens here. And next time I get him on, it was on my list of questions, but, I mean, gosh, we did 22 minutes, which was – I was supposed to only do 20 minutes. 22 minutes, and I was out of time. I wanted to ask a couple more questions about that, kind of where he sees himself in this race. I mean, he's working it. To me, everything from the outside looking in, he's still working like their polls are showing them something. I'll tell you this, the very unscientific poll, like I've said before, in my neighborhood shows that, at least in my neighborhood, there's a lot more people that want to tell you they're voting for Doug Jones. Now, that doesn't mean what's going to happen, but why is that? Why is it that there are people in my neighborhood which there's Jerry Carl signs too? See what I'm saying? So there's Republican voters, but I don't see the Tuberville signs. I see the Jerry Carl signs. It's just, it's interesting. Now I go to other areas and I see Tupperville signs and plenty. I'm just talking about my neighborhood, somewhere between here at Airport and 65 and the University of South Alabama, kind of where I travel through. I'm not putting a thumb on any scale. That's just what I see out there. And why is it? Is there a lack of enthusiasm? You heard Jeff talk earlier about enthusiasm, and he's talking about it with State Rep Matt Simpson as well. Is there a lack of enthusiasm for Tommy Tuberville? But does that matter? Because if everybody shows up to vote for President Trump and they're already there, they're going to either do straight ticket voting or make sure to fill out Tommy Tuberville. So I don't know. Well, he's still, once again, you just watch Senator Jones from the outside. It's like they got something they think is working. They think they still got a puncher's chance in this. All right, coming right back, we'll check in with our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams. Got the latest on Delta, got Gamma, we got Phi Kappa, we have what other fraternity names can we put together out of the storms? We'll work on that with Dr. Bill when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We'll get back to your calls about the interview with Senator Jones and do that here at around 1 o'clock, maybe a little bit before. But right now, let's bring in the man that we all want to hear from, even when it's news we may not want to hear, our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
All right. I was listening intently this morning as you're talking with Dan and Dalton about Gamma and then what would be then Delta, which is now a tropical storm.
It is a tropical storm. We can pretty much forget about Gamma. It is decreased in intensity. It's falling apart. It's over the northern portion of the Yucatan Peninsula. But the one to watch now is Tropical Storm Delta. It's just southwest of Jamaica. And it'll continue now to move in a northwesterly direction over the western Caribbean and should move through the Yucatan Channel, that is between Cuba and the Yucatan, and that will occur late tomorrow night. And then early on Wednesday, it will be in the southern Gulf of Mexico and most likely will be a hurricane at that time and should continue to intensify. And it'll maintain pretty much a northwesterly track and then begin to recurve, that is to start to turn to the north. And that will occur right now. The early projection here is along the Louisiana coast, particularly the eastern portion of the Louisiana coast, and that will occur Friday morning. After that, it'll turn to the northeast and will end up going across southeast Mississippi and into western Alabama Friday night and early Saturday. Now, it could reach a Category 2 hurricane, maybe even a 3. However, once it gets closer to the coast, the water temperatures are a little bit cooler, and a lot of it is brought out by several tropical storms and hurricanes that we've had over the last few weeks, and therefore temperatures are not quite as warm as they were earlier. So we may see a bit of a decrease in intensity when it approaches the coast, if it is in Louisiana. And after that, of course, it'll obviously lose strength as it gets on into the interior of Mississippi. This storm will be fast-moving compared to Sally. This one right now is moving at 9 miles an hour, and may pick up a little bit of speed once it gets to the coast and begins to move inland. And we're facing another hurricane, and the track that we're looking at now toward Louisiana could change. And if anything, it may change in an easterly direction. So there's still a chance that this storm could go right over the Alabama coast, or maybe even into northwest Florida around Pensacola. So it's way down in the Caribbean right now, so things can change over the next couple of days.
That recurve you're discussing seems, it's not the only storm, but reminiscent in recent memory of Sally, that coming in to our west and then tracking back to the east-northeast. So what do you watch? What makes that happen? Is there a higher, like, what is the effect that makes that storm then turn when it gets close to the coast and go to the northeast?
Yeah, basically they're trying to go around a high pressure area that's over the east coast, and it's the same high that's been giving us this beautiful cool weather over the last several days, and that high will be drifting to the east. And what's very important as to where it's going to be located as we get into Thursday and Friday. Right now, the computer models project that the path will be into Louisiana. If the high moves a little bit farther to the east, then we may see it come right into the Alabama coast or into northwest Florida. So it's that critical position of the high-pressure system on the east coast as to when that curve begins, or recurve, as we call it. And most storms eventually want to make that turn to the right, and we will see this eventually occur.
Okay, so we have the timeline. Once again, if somebody, talk about people that are, oh my gosh, still trying to put their lives together in in South Mobile County, South Baldwin County, for sure, they need to have stuff, let's just put it in hayseed language, I can understand. You got to have your work done, stuff picked up by when?
Well, you've got Tuesday and Wednesday, and then as Thursday, conditions will start to deteriorate as the storm gets close to the coast, whether it be Louisiana, whether it be Mississippi or Alabama or northwest Florida. Thursday will be the day that it's pretty close and conditions will start to rain, showers will intensify, and also the winds will pick up. And if we get into any kind of a hurricane condition, it most likely will be in the daytime, which that would be Friday. And then by late Friday, we'll be moving on well inland. So we've got this, the rest of today, Tuesday and Wednesday, to make preparations. And then Thursday, things really start to change.
What about rainfall totals out of this? What do you expect?
Now, we don't expect anything like occurred in Sally, because Sally was a slow-moving system. This one should move through at a decent pace, so that we'll likely pick up several inches of rain, but nothing like the double-digit totals that we saw in the earlier storm.
And then wind, what are you thinking?
Well, if it's a Category 2, we're looking at wind gusts certainly over 100 miles per hour. And, that's certainly a possibility. But at least, even if it goes into Louisiana, we'll pick up at least the eastern fringe of the storm. And that means we'll likely see gale-force winds, certainly gusts of 40 to 50, and maybe 60 at times. But if it starts to move into the Mississippi coast, or obviously if it moves into Alabama, then we have a good chance of picking up hurricane conditions.
Oh my, and Lord knows I'm talking to, I am preaching to the choir here, but with so many storm-weakened trees from Sally, you know, even gale force, we could have, you know, maybe not a repeat, but we could have a you know, a second helping.
Yeah, that's right. And even with just the tropical storm winds, some gales, we're going to see some of these trees already have tops that are broken and hanging, and good chance that they will be coming down. And if you've looked around at all, you can see that there's some pretty large pieces of upper portions of these trees that are just hanging by seemingly by threads, and they're ready to fall with increase in wind velocity. So it'll produce some problems, even if it's just a tropical storm.
All right, Dr. Bill, we appreciate the update and the timeline on that, and we'll keep you keep us close here, and we'll get the updates as they come in.
Okay, Sean.
All right, there he is, our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, with your update. Right? Delta now. It's Delta, that we're going to be talking about. So Thursday, it starts getting bumpy. So if y'all are looking at when to get stuff picked up, try to do whatever you can, you know, to prepare for the storm. Nice thing is, I guess you had your, you know, your run during Sally, so you have your generator in place. I think maybe the good news is a bunch of people went out afterwards and bought generators, so that's there. You had a, you know, if you had to tarp your roof, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. You know, it's more staples in it, I guess. I mean, this is really, I mean, it's hitting us just right afterwards here, and people are trying to, you know, just put your life back together, and then here comes Delta. So we'll watch this, but that timeline, once again, looks like a Friday daytime storm, you heard Dr. Bill saying. I know somebody had said before, why don't the storms ever come in the daytime? Well, maybe here's one to undo that pattern of nighttime storms coming in the daytime. Of course, we're going to be here daytime, nighttime, whenever. There's weather affecting you, tropical weather, severe weather. We're going to be here. We're going to have staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams with constant reports. We're going to be putting people together on information on who needs help, how to get the help to them, what resources are out there, power, trees down, where you can get ice, all those kind of things. We did it before. We've been doing it for 11 years now. We'll continue to do it no matter how many storms this season throws at us, and the next, and the next, and the next. So remember, keep us handy, even when there's not a storm, but especially when there is a storm. Be right back.